Mike Malefsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, who's on the line.
Hi, Mike. It's Ava Miles. How are you?
I am fine, Ava. Thank you very much. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the south of France, which is really hot. We're in the 90s. I hope that you have better weather.
Well, normally I would say we're cooler than that. I would be talking to you from Palmer, Alaska, but I happen to be on a trip to a conference in Salt Lake City. So I would say our temperature here rivals yours. Today it'll likely be about 90 degrees.
Wow. That's unusual for there. I used to live in Logan, so that's crazy for there.
I know. It's been a little bit up and down, but we just happened to hit the proper time for 90 degrees. Well, let's talk about your book, though. Ava, you're in the south of France, and this book is about an aspect of hockey that doesn't normally get a lot of attention. How did you come to think you should write the book itself?
Sure. Well, it's funny, actually, you talk about how it's an unusual premise, but there actually have been studies about whether hockey players are modern cavemen. And that's exactly what, of course, the heroines in this particular book, The Hockey Experiment, study. It's actually out there. If you look it up, there's journals written by academics. There's journals, articles written by other hockey players for their thesis, one in particular who was a Harvard champion. So I had a really heck of a time doing a screwball comedy about a anthropologist hired by her father to motivate his hockey team, because hockey players, you know, for example, like, they needed to sort of know that cavemen won the Ice Age. I mean, like, if you can win the Ice Age, you can win the Stanley Cup.
Well, okay. Interesting way to put it. So what kind of involvement or connection to hockey itself did you have over the years?
Well, I'm a total sports fan. And so, like, I had the pond, like, little skating rink when I was a young kid, when I was in the Midwest. My dad and the neighbor would get together and we'd make, like, a nice little pond rink. And so I grew up skating. I grew up going and, like, being kind of a fierce competitor. So I've loved hockey for a very long time. It's kind of like one of those things where it's a cool sport for me, because I also played flag football, and football can be rather warm.
Sure, right.
The rink is perfect.
Right, I understand. Well, being in Alaska where we are, hockey starts at a very early age. There are many, many indoor and outdoor rinks scattered about. So we're committed, and we have the kind of weather and seasonal situation that hockey plays a large part in many people's focus on sports. But this book, who are you aiming it at? What's your target audience?
Well, you know, I have 60 books, or 60 plus books. And so I've been a writer for the sort of romance, rom-com, women's fiction group for a long time, since I first was published. So I'm known for my feel-good romances. I'm known for found family, for family-oriented heroes who actually have integrity. So I don't have the brute kind of hockey player. I've got actually one that I modeled after Sidney Crosby from the Penguins, because I wanted to have what was the nicest guy in hockey, and I thought that he would be a really good inspiration for the hero Brock the Rock Thompson.
Got it. Okay. Very, very, very interesting. Mike Malefsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm speaking to the author of a book which I'm beginning to see is not so unusual about hockey. But what would you describe the major theme of or themes of the book to be?
Well, I would say one of the things is obviously about winning, because you know, they're pursuing the Stanley Cup. But I think the other thing is, you know, it's kind of maybe a fun thing for a romance writer to think about. But, you know, not judging books by the cover. The heroine goes into disguise, basically to study this team, and so the hero sees basically that something's a little off by her, but he's very intrigued by her. And I think what woman doesn't want to actually be seen to her true self by a hero? And so that's one of the things. He actually has his niece and his nephew move in because his sister is getting a divorce right up before the championship, which throws this entire thing off. A lot of hockey players at least that I read about in terms of interviews, really like a calm, very controlled environment. They don't like a lot of surprises. They, you know, like pick the suits out that they're going to wear for all of the travel, for example. And this throws his whole life off. And his niece is actually also like wanting to be seen. She's 14 years old. She's at that teenage age. And so it really is a nice mirror to the heroine. And so I think the position between being such a magnitude of a star as a hockey player and also having someone who is in disguise but also wants to be seen for who she really is a nice foil and a nice contrast.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for that summary. What message would you like to leave for our listeners, your listeners as well in this instance, about the book? Is there a particular thing you'd like to tell them?
Well, I think for me, I always love to leave people with a very good feel-good feeling, and also the fact that Happily Ever After exists, even when it's really surprising. I think sometimes we are attracted to people that we are surprised by, and that's one of the journeys that both characters go through. You know, he's not expecting to fall for this kind of nerdy trainer-like looking assistant, you know, on the team. And she's certainly not like thinking she's going to fall for the captain of the hockey team. So it's like sometimes our own preconceived notions about what we think is right for us are wrong. And when we allow ourselves to really listen to ourselves and listen to our hearts, we're actually able to be surprised and find the partner of our dreams and the love of a lifetime.
Okay. Now, hockey is played worldwide. I have to ask, are you there in the south of France to go to a hockey game?
I haven't come across a hockey game in South France. I actually am more inclined to find a bull-oriented sort of like thing here. I haven't seen a single hockey event here. Paris Saint-Germain has just won a very big, and the first time they've ever won, particular European championship.
Right.
That a Munich team always is known for. So they've been kind of crazy about that. But you really don't hear much about hockey here. And I lived in Ireland 2 years before I moved to France, and I never heard about hockey in Ireland, even though it's very cold, I can guarantee you. I've been a little bit out of that since I was in Washington, D.C., of course, when the Caps were, all around all the time.
Yep, got it. Okay. Ava, thank you very much for taking the time out of your warm day there to share this information about the book. And I'm sure listeners, particularly here in Alaska, will be looking forward to reading it.
Oh, well, like I said, thanks so much. And I hope you have a great time in Salt Lake. If you end up going to the Red or Blue Iguana, I cannot tell you how great it is. I would say run to it. It's wonderful.
You're one of many who have lined up to say that is the place to go. We certainly will. Stay well out there. Go ahead.
I used to be a chef, so you can guarantee it. Go for it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Stay well out there.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.